It was almost 15 years ago to this day that I had the opportunity to first preach on the gospel passage from Matthew that we have today. And yet, I remember it like it was just last week. I had been ordained about 15 minutes. Actually, I'd been a priest all of 4 months, but to say I was still green under the proverbial collar is an understatement. On Saturday evening of a 3-day weekend that focused on the spiritual renewal of about 70 middle schoolers, I was informed that I would be preaching at the closing Eucharist the next day and that the bishop would be present. That's the clergy version of hazing the new kid. When I saw this passage approximately 15 hours before I was to wow the masses with my brilliance, my level of anxiety diminished a little. I knew what this overly emotion-laden group of near teens needed to hear before they left the most sacred space most of them had ever encountered, called camp. They needed encouragement. They needed to know that Jesus' love is present in every aspect of our lives, not just in the moments in spaces that we feel especially close to Jesus and loved by both him and our community, but also in the world in which seems so scary and sometimes mean to those who are transitioning from being elementary school children to being full-fledged young people on their way to becoming adults. They needed to know that Jesus is present, calling and urging and supporting no matter what. And you know what? 15 years later, not a whole lot has changed, at least in how we can relate to the story that we have in front of us today. Granted, most of you are not middle schoolers, and some of you are, but the insecurities and threats in our lives are very real. Jesus and his friends have had a big weekend. The original plan was to get away to have some quiet time with God and prayer. But when they arrived at their destination, there were hordes of people already there. 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Jesus meets their needs both spiritually and physically. He teaches the eager crowds about the kingdom of God and then provides an overly abundant amount of food for everyone from virtually nothing. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And it's at this point, after feeding the masses, that we come into the picture today. Jesus and his friends were tired when they arrived, and now they're even more exhausted. The rejuvenative prayer time they had anticipated, time away with God, has not happened. So now Jesus sends his friends off on a boat to the next destination while he grabs what he can, a bit of quiet time in prayer, reconnecting with the source of light and life. As the boat of exhausted disciples makes its way across the lake, the winds become stronger. This is not a peaceful float on the water. And Jesus makes his way toward them, and they're now awakened from the jarring waves against the boat, and they see something coming towards them on the water. And they're naturally anxious. Jesus senses their anxiety, their fear, and calls out to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Or, "Hey guys, it's me, don't worry. Don't be scared. It's only me." And Peter responds, "Hey, if it's really you, call me to come to you." And Jesus says, "Okay, come to me." And Peter does. He steps out of the boat and starts walking toward Jesus on the top of the water. And then we're told, but when he noticed the strong winds, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Peter's so often known for his impetuous nature. He is all in, for better or for worse. He's the first disciple to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah and quick to deny he ever knew him. Peter, in so many ways, is the archetype for all of us. All in or all out with Jesus, depending on what fits the moment or the crowd we're in. Jesus calls the disciples out of the boat. "Don't worry, it's me." And Peter immediately responds, "If you command, it's you, command me to come to you." And Jesus did, because Peter needed this. Jesus could have easily said, "Now, Peter, don't you trust that I'm here and I'm coming to you? Why do you need to test me and ask me to call you out of the water?" But Jesus didn't do that. He called Peter out of the boat, out of the safety of the boat, out of the security of the boat, out of the known predictability of the boat on the turbulent waters. Jesus called Peter out of the safety of the comfortable boat into the turbulent waters that battered the safe boat. And Peter walked easily, without any problems, on the water, on top of those turbulent waters, because Jesus had called him out. But once Peter started second-guessing and becoming afraid, he began to sink. The way that Matthew describes this is, when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And we hear that Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. It's not without intention that many, if not most, Episcopal boats are built in an architectural, churches are built in an architectural style in which the overarching support of the church resembles the hull of a boat. That style is visible if you look up. In this church made of wood, it is even more visible. Not this boat that you see over our heads is not unlike the boat of the disciples that night so long ago. The hull of this boat called the church will carry us like the ark carried Noah and the boat carried the disciples. And yet, we are called to step out of the boat, out of the safety and security and comfort we find within the boat. Just like Jesus called Peter out onto the turbulent waters of the lake, we are called out into the turbulent waters of the world. Perhaps we would prefer to stay safe and secure and have our boat battened down with all protection from the storms that threaten us. Of course we would prefer that. We would love to not have to encounter the world with all its changes and turbulence. We would love to have our insulated life not threatened or be bothered by the world outside these doors. But that is in no way what following Jesus is about. Following Jesus means stepping out into the storm, onto the seas, in the face of the turbulent winds. It's easy to stay in the boat hoping that the storm will go away and the winds will die down and everything will go back to the way it used to be. That's wishful thinking. Things, whatever those things are, will not go back. Life only goes forward. Faith goes forward. Jesus calls us forward, not backward. Think for a minute about the interchange between Jesus and Peter. Peter, realizing that Jesus is walking toward them on the water, says, if it is you, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, "No, stay where you are. It's safer in the boat. It's better to be there where you're secure, what you've always known and found comforting." That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Come. Come to me. Come out into the scary waters where you can't touch the bottom. Step out beyond anything you've ever done before. I'm here in the waters. If you start to sink like Peter did, I will reach out my hand and hold you up." come, step out of the boat. Amen.